Hi, my name is Jordan Mayer. Welcome back to the Your Smile Makes Flowers Bloom podcast. This season, I will be focusing on topics that are related to slowing down, wonder, awe, and noticing. I'm very excited for you to listen to our guest today. Her name is Tina Getz. Tina is a wife, mother of two wonderful children, a daughter, sister, and friend. She has recently taken up blogging and also enjoys writing puppet scripts for kids at her church. In today's episode, Tina and I talk about wonder, gratitude, and rest. Tina describes wonder as wide-eyed delight and shares different ideas for encouraging wonder with children as well as adults. I truly hope you enjoy this episode and that you are inspired to take time today to rest and to be grateful for the big and small things in your life. So Tina, it's great to have you on the podcast today. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
That's great. So Tina, I know you because I've had the privilege of teaching your son Curtis, and I know you from the school that I teach at, Hope Lutheran. For those who don't know about you, just wondering if you could share a little bit about yourself, maybe your family and some things that you like to do for fun.
Great. Well, in this season of my life, I'm a wife and a mother of two kids aged 8 and 10. And I am also a daughter, sister, and friend. And I listened to one of your recent podcasts, Jordan, and I was touched by the introduction that Lindsay Lichty gave for herself. And it was such a beautiful expression of how she is connected to those who have gone before her and to those after her. And I feel that too. And I wanted to value that and mention that that really touched me. Mm-hmm. But as for hobbies, I've been trying my hand at writing and blogging, which is very new for me. Mm-hmm. And also writing puppet scripts for the kids at my church. And one of my own children said something so interesting to me this week. They could see that I was typing on my computer and they asked what I was working on. And I mentioned that I was preparing a few thoughts for this podcast conversation today. And one of my kids looked at me and they said, "Why would you have a script for a conversation?" And I made a mental note to file that question in my head because it struck me about just how I see writing and having a script. It's a strength or a security for me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's also a weakness in that I can rely on that structure, that safety of structure, more mm-hmm. than embracing the change and the beautiful interruptions that happen during the day. And I think that that has a lot to do with the process of wonder that I have had to embrace, mm-hmm. and that it's not maybe right away, and perhaps we have that as children, but for me, it's something that I have been working on and growing in over the last few years, and even since meeting you and having you share just certain tidbits into my own life of how mistakes can be beautiful and seeing potential in them to grow. So I've valued that input from you. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing, Tina. Just a couple things come to mind. First of all, I want to just commend you for being brave and starting your blog. I have recently read a number of posts, and I've certainly been blessed by them, and I really encourage you to just keep going for it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's rewarding, and I keep doing it for my kids. It's a blog about writing family Christian devotionals that we do together, and I just keep focusing on my kids, and that helps me to keep moving forward without feeling the fear of what other people may think.
Exactly. So,
yeah,
and I'll make sure to put a link to your blog in the show notes. Yeah, the second thing that came to mind is when you were talking about just what your childhood mentioned, like, why would you be writing a script? And it definitely makes me think about teaching and working with children, how, you know, part of my job is making sure that I do have a lesson plan prepared for, you know, the different subjects that I'm going to teach. However, I think it is important sometimes to be open to those beautiful interruptions, and that sometimes that's where the, you know, real and deep learning can take place. And I think sometimes if I was just to say, you know, well, that's not what we're learning about today, I think we would definitely miss out on some really memorable moments together.
Exactly. That reminds me of a word that one of my pastors shared once. It was the word pivot. And one of your feet is planted in the structure or the plan or the expected outcome, but the other one is free to pivot. And I really, really valued that word and tried to encapsulate, what did that look like to, for me, someone who loves structure, to be able to pivot and to embrace the change or the interruption as a welcome thing.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, I've never heard that before. Thanks for sharing. All right. So again, thank you for being with us today. Part of the topic that we want to talk about is wonder and awe, like you've mentioned. And my wife and I had the privilege of coming over to your house. This was, I think, at least a couple years ago, but we had a really wonderful time. And something that stuck out to me was that your son had all of these different pots near the windows, and he was growing all of these different kinds of plants. And I thought that was really neat. So I guess something I would like to learn from you today is, how do you encourage wonder with your own children?
Well, those pots are still sitting in the window, and it has grown. So wonder, I do love that word. The image that popped into my head is wide-eyed delight. And I, as a parent, I think a lot of times we use the word modeling. So you're trying to model the behavior or what you expect. And when I was thinking about wonder, I thought of the word modeling, wonder, for my kids, but it's more than that. It's experiencing wonder together. And the way, a simple way that we do that is doing scavenger hunts outside together. You know, I'm not sending them out on their own with a piece of paper. I go with them and I look for the items. Another thing that came to mind is something that we do at dinner or at bedtime, and we call it highs and lows. It's not my own idea. I gleaned it from somewhere. But we take a few minutes, we think back through our day, and we pull out an experience that made us smile and an experience that we struggled with. Maybe it was a disappointment or we scraped our knee. But through this reflection, we're more able to connect with our day and realize that our days are important and worth sharing with one another, even little things that make us smile or that disappoint us. And we can laugh together and rejoice at the good things and, you know, comfort one another in the lows. So to me, I feel like that develops wonder, to appreciate different moments of our days. So that's how I try to encourage it with my kids, is basically doing it with them and embracing that together.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea. And I think that connects really well to the next question is, as a parent and as an adult, how do you keep your childlike wonder alive? And I'm guessing that it has a lot to do with enjoying these experiences together with your children. Are there some other ideas that come to mind too?
Yes, it is enjoying them with my kids, but I also had to sort of differentiate between childlike and childish and really pursue childlike even as a mature adult. And often I ask myself, how are my children perceiving this event right now or experiencing it? And how can I see more like them? And when I consider wonder, I do think it's connected to rest in some way. It's about slowing down long enough to see something or experience, really notice, enjoy. Even the word savor came to mind, which if you know me well, you know that I often have a cookie or something delicious during the day. And I don't, you know, I don't wolf it down in one bite. You know, you savor those kinds of moments. It's something simple.
Yeah.
But as an adult, I often think that perhaps we're afraid of quiet or rest. Or am I afraid of slowing down? What will I find or what will I discover about myself? Or will I not like it? But we're surrounded by frenzied activity and distractions that pull us back and forth. But in order for myself to cultivate that childlike wonder in my own life, I've had to pursue peace or quiet and rest, and actually to be quite proactive or purposeful about it. And I know that last year when things weren't so shut down, I had to take a highlighter and I would highlight portions, sometimes a whole day, but portions of a day with this yellow highlighter. And at one point my husband says, "What's the highlighter for?" And I was like, "I'm blocking out rest," or "I'm blocking out purposeful times of downtime." Because if it's not purposeful for me, it doesn't happen.
Right.
So I'm not sure about everybody else, but I needed that. I needed that discipline because I wanted it. Because to me, the quiet is full, and so I wanted to make that happen in my own life.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing. I think something that comes to mind for me is I'm taking a program at Simon Fraser University called Imaginative Education, and we've been learning about these tools, which are called cognitive tools, and they are basically different things that help us make sense of the world. And one of them is looking for different heroic qualities that we might find in the world. And I would like to suggest that one heroic quality when it comes to wonder is one that maybe is a little bit backwards. And I think that slowing down can definitely be a heroic quality. However, I think for the world that we live in, maybe a really, really fast pace is maybe seen as more heroic. So it's kind of this backwards idea that maybe slowing down is something that is countercultural, but in the end is maybe better for us.
I see that too. And to add to that, the one realization me and my kids had recently was we were talking about rest, and often we know we can give examples of how we rest our bodies.
Right.
We sit down or we lie down, we have a nap, we go out in nature. But for us, what does it look like to rest our minds and our spirit, and to give examples of how do our brains have that rest? They're not racing all the time. Maybe it looks like journaling or writing all the thoughts out of your head, or even your spirit, you know, cultivating meditation and prayer, or taking time to be creative. Maybe that's actually restful.
Right.
But to embrace more than just vegging out and watching a movie, but what is actually restful and encouraging growth inside of us, or filling up our cups inside.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it is very easy to rest our bodies. I've even heard one of my colleagues share a number of years ago that they went to Hawaii for a week or two and laid on the beach. And while that was wonderful and, you know, very relaxing, when they came back, they didn't feel well rested. They didn't have that deep rest. And I appreciate that point that you bring up, that that deep rest also has to do with our minds as well. So thank you.
No problem. Well, I think you're asking examples of childlike wonder, and one other one had come to mind. the other, just a couple of days ago, there was a full rainbow out our front window, and I hadn't seen one in a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, my daughter exclaimed, "Come and look at this."
Mm.
And at that moment, at 4:45, I'm making dinner. I had a choice, you know, put the dish towel down and embrace the moment, and or come and look and then quickly return to what I was doing. And in one way, I have the appearance of wonder because I went and I looked at it.
Right.
But did I actually allow it to really, did I slow down enough to let it impact me? And mm-hmm. that to me is a bit of a difference, is I'm not just trying to shove in these moments of, you know, it looks like I'm full of wonder,
right.
but I want to be full of wonder. So that does sometimes require, yeah, changing the structure.
Yeah. I think one last thing that, as you were talking about that, that came to mind for me is, I don't know about you, but there are many, many days where I feel like I need to be like very, very productive. So even if I'm sitting down, I feel like, well, I need to be, you know, planning for school, or I need to be reading for grad school, or I need to be, and the list just kind of goes on and on and on. And, we're on spring break at the moment, which has been really nice. And one thing I've been trying to do intentionally is just saying, you know, it's okay that if at the end of my day, I don't need to look back and have 45 things checked off a list.
Uh-huh.
That it's okay to, and I think there are different seasons for this, but it's okay during different seasons to really, yeah, just to slow down and to be okay with a non-productive day. Obviously, there are things that do need to get done. We all have different responsibilities, but I think that sometimes there's this attitude that, you know, I can't take a moment just to be still or to rest. So
uh-huh.
I think that's something that I've been trying to work on lately too.
Yes, and I think it comes down to, do we value it?
Right.
And do we see that we need it?
Mm-hmm.
And if we do, then it becomes something that we prioritize.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it helps us work even more productive.
Yeah, I think so in the long run.
Yeah, in the long run. Yeah.
Yeah. The next part I'm quite curious about is, I'm wondering if you have a story that maybe you could share with us about a time that you just experienced awe while you were outside in nature.
Yes, of course. we love going outside, although I must admit that I'm a fair weather walker. When November to January hits, it's a struggle for me to go out and exercise and walk, but on a nice day, we work in our yard and we want to garden. It's not something that I love doing, but it's something that I do want to care for my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And we've basically bought plants that can fend for themselves, because we, as much as we want to take care of our yard, we don't want to spend time there every day.
Right.
But this one instance came back to my mind, and when I do garden, I get down on my hands and my knees really close to the ground, and I look around.
Mm.
And this one time I noticed, you know, ants walking in a row, or a little tiny bug carrying a big leaf. and I stop and I think, I'm the only person that will ever see that specific moment.
Mm.
And it's so tiny, and what seems insignificant, but it actually makes me feel small too. And from that place, I feel grateful. I
yeah.
feel grateful that I saw it, and I almost want to see it just to appreciate it, and to thank God that I was there at that moment, and I chose to just notice something, even when it's just so little. It makes me happy and helps me to slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think think we all want to be seen. And I mean, I'm not referring to the little bugs anymore, but in our own lives, that somebody would slow down enough to notice us, something small that we did or what maybe seems insignificant. We want to be seen too. So, and I know that you as a teacher, an educator, you do that. And I loved when my own son was in your class and feeling as a parent that not that the teacher's loving and kind, but that they see my child, they see their weaknesses, but they see their strengths and want to build towards that. And that was a huge blessing to me and my husband that year.
I'm so glad. Thank you for the encouragement.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that all children, and not just children, adults too, long to be seen and to have somebody, you know, either, I think you can say, I see you with your words, but I think you can also say, I see you without your words. Mm-hmm. Whether it's watching a child on the monkey bars or playing tag with them. There are many different ways to say, I see you and I value you.
Yeah.
So Tina, you mentioned that when you experienced that time of awe in your garden, that you were grateful. And part of the reason I'm doing this podcast on the topic of wonder is for an action research project for grad school. And when I first started learning about this topic, this theme of gratitude started to just kind of emerge. And to be honest, that really surprised me. I wasn't expecting that. So I'm wondering if you could maybe unpack a little bit more for us how you think wonder and gratitude are maybe connected.
I do like that question. I think they fuel each other. And in my mind, it's kind of like an unending circle where the more I pursue wonder, the more I feel grateful. And the more I pursue gratitude, the more I cultivate wonder. And I do see them as pointing towards each other or encouraging each other. And the more capacity that I have in my life for those things, the more my eyes are trained to see it. So I may not feel that way right now. Maybe I feel at the beginning, or that I don't notice anything at all, or how will I ever live that wonderful life that we all want. But it's a process. Yeah. And it's for me, it has been, at least, of choosing to slow down and to cultivate three things that I'm grateful for today, or what were my highs and lows of the day, and really, yeah, centering in on those things. So I certainly see them connected, and think that they fuel each other. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're coming to, that you're coming to see as well in your study?
It is. Yeah. I think, you know, there are many moments that I've been, you know, outside in nature and just been overwhelmed by the beauty that I see around me. I think, you know, for me, that often comes up when I watch a sunrise or a sunset. And I just feel this, like, overwhelming sense of gratitude. And I, as a person of faith, I direct that to God, and I want to say thank you for making something so beautiful. You didn't need to make these colors, but you did, and I feel like you did that because you love me and you see me, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, I think that every time I see the ocean. I think we all have something, and for me, we grew up by the ocean, so it's almost like a feeling of home or familiarity.
Right.
And even now, when I go back anywhere to the water, and just hear the crashing waves, or just even gentle lapping of the water, it refreshes. refreshes me, or it reminds me of, yeah, how big the world is, how big God is, and that it's beautiful. So big things like that certainly inspire awe, like a crashing waterfall, or you know, all of those examples, the sunrise. So I love that, or the sunset. It's those moments of awe and wonder.
Yeah. No, I agree. So Tina, as our conversation is coming to a close, I'm wondering if you have a favorite quote that you would like to share with our listeners today.
I do. I read back through some of my journals to try to, I wanted a quote that encapsulates, you know, the journey and the process of learning to wonder. Mm. And for me, I read a book last year called Begin Again, and it's by Liana Tankersley. And it was hopeful, and it reminded me of this process of life. But there was something that she wrote, and again, I copied it into my journal, about listening to God in the dark or the quiet, at night or before life begins in the morning, finding those snippets of quiet. And she writes this. She goes, "The noise is not where I will find my guidance. I will be led by listening to the silence, listening into the silence. Listening is about trading our trying for trust. This is how we find true rest. And listening is a begin again kind of ritual. It's never finished, and it's always possible." So that stuck with me about the process, and of reminding myself that every time I listen, it's a beginning, and there's always something more. It's never finished. So that stuck with me about embracing change and mistakes and all of my trying, and turning it into trust. For me, as also a person of faith, trusting in God in the silence, and trusting that He's always speaking to us.
Thank you for sharing. That is a very hopeful quote, and it kind of reminds me to give up any sense of control that I think I have, and learning to trust Him again, day after day after day. So I really appreciate you sharing that quote. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, Tina, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you very much for being on the podcast, and we hope that you have a great rest of the year and a wonderful summer with your family.
Thank you. You as well.
A big thank you to Tina for being on the podcast today. You are an incredible mother, and I'm inspired by how you cultivate wonder and gratitude in your children's lives. Listeners, if you would like to continue learning from Tina, I encourage you to read her blog post, which can be found at feedingmyfamily.ca. That's all the time that we have for today. Thank you very much for listening, and stay tuned for upcoming episodes where we continue to discuss topics related to slowing down and finding ways to notice the wonderful world around us.